In the mid to late 2000s, there were two books that appeared that were very popular. They came out, and one I think in 2004, another one in 2009. The first one in 2004 was entitled Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Some of you remember that? They were very, very popular books. Then in about 2009, I think this other one appeared, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teens. All right? Then they start coming out of more and more of these books, and there was books on habits of highly effective families, and books on highly effective habits of highly effective students, teachers, leaders, and so on and so forth. But these were all of these books provided some habits that will make people very effective, and all of those books agree on one thing, and this is: in order to be effective in any area, we must develop and practice good habits. And I believe, that this is true in our spiritual lives, isn't it? It's very true in our spiritual lives as well. That's why today I entitled my sermon, Habits of Highly Effective Followers. In order for us, if we want to be effective followers of Christ, we must develop, and not just develop, but also practice good spiritual habits. So today I would like to look at some of those spiritual habits that will help us become effective in our following of Jesus Christ. But before we do that, we need to define what is a habit. A habit, by definition, in the dictionary, is a pattern of behavior acquired by frequent repetition, which becomes nearly, they say, or completely involuntary. You come to a point where you don't even think about it, and you just do it. You guys have those habits sometimes, right? That is like, oh, why did I just do it? Well, it's because you've done it so many times, you've repeated it so many times, and it becomes completely involuntary. It becomes a way of doing things in your life. It becomes a way of life. A habit is a regular practice, and somebody says that is very, very hard to give up. You've tried to give up a habit, a bad habit? It takes a very, very long time. Just ask the people that are smoking, that took the habit of smoking, or any other bad habit, how long it takes for them to give up that bad habit. They learn it very quickly by repeating it a few times, but it's very, very hard to give it up. A wise proverb says, and you've heard this proverb before probably, but it's very good and it really talks about today's topic. If we sow a thought, we reap an act. If we sow an act, we reap a habit. If we sow a habit, we reap a life. So this proverb tells us that our habits shape our lives. This is very, very important. The same holds true about our spiritual lives. Our habits are a crucial part of developing and shaping our spiritual lives. So in order for us to experience change, which is the goal of every Christian, is to be transformed in Christ's likeness. If we want to experience that change and be transformed into Christ's likeness, we need to change our habits. We need to give up some of the bad habits from our past life and acquire new good habits. Unfortunately, too many people want to serve the world and want to serve Jesus as well. They want to hold on to their habits from the past and still acquire some new habits and practice both. They want the best of both worlds. You know what they say, an old habit dies what? Hard. But Jesus says that we cannot serve how many masters? Two. If you want to hold on to your old past habits and still acquire new God's habits and practice both at the same time and thinking that you can do that, we are deceiving ourselves. It is impossible to serve two masters. In an article in Christianity Today magazine, a young lady said this, and this is the magazine that talks about Christian life. And she says this, she wants to be religious, but isn't prepared to let religion alter her lifestyle. Very powerful statement. She says, I want to be religious, I want to be with Christ, but I'm not ready to allow this religion to alter my lifestyle. She continues saying, I'm a Jesus girl, but I also like to go out and do tequila shots with my friends. This young lady does not understand what it really means to follow Jesus Christ. Until you get sick and tired of your old life of sin and you won't give it up, until you get tired, you will not give it up for Jesus. You have to feel sick and tired of that old life, sick and tired of those bad habits, to come to the point where you say, Lord, I want to give it up. I don't want to do it anymore. And this is what Jesus expects from us when we come to Him, when we come and accept Him, and we follow Him every day. Now, the book of Acts shows us how important it was to the first Christians to develop good spiritual habits. I want you to open up with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. There is a lot of good spiritual habits that are mentioned here. And the disciples, when people were converted to Christianity in the first century AD, the disciples made sure that they exposed the first Christians to this life-giving habits that will grow their faith. And just follow with me and see how many good habits are here that the Christians were exposed daily. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily, is that a habit? Doing it something repetitiously? It says continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There is multiple habits that the first apostolic church were doing every day. They wanted the believers, those who were converted, to get into the habit of doing those good things and slowly to give up on those bad habits from the past. So some of them are these. The Bible says that they continued in the teachings of the apostles. They continued into fellowshipping together, breaking of bread, praying, praising God, and spending time together in homes and in the temple. Are these good habits? These are best habits to have. And the disciples made sure that every convert that was coming into the Christian church was acquiring those good habits right from the beginning. Because when you have a little child, you want to teach them good habits, right? Because they catch on very quickly. And those habits that they acquire in the first 7 years of their life stays with them for a long time. Those habits stay with them. The same with new converts into Christian church. You want them to develop right away good habits. So the Christian church established this pattern of acquiring life-changing habits. So today, when the followers of Jesus will become intentional about developing these good habits, they will become effective followers of Jesus Christ. But so many Christians today excuse themselves by saying that they don't have time for spiritual things. Do we hear that often? I do. We don't have time to practice all these spiritual habits. We are too busy. Let me ask you one question, and I want you to be very honest with yourself. Do you have time for your work? Do you have time for your work? You do. You'd probably never miss work just because you're tired or because you had something else to do, would you? Probably not, because that is your work. Well, you would probably say back to me, Pastor, that is our work. It is very important for us. Why? Because that is how we make a living. I have to work. And I agree with you, that is vitally important for your life. It is. That is a good answer. It is true that you need to work to make a living. But I want you to remember this. If your work that brings temporary financial gain is important to you, how much more should the spiritual work be important to you that will bring eternal gain? Did you hear what I just said? If your work that brings temporary financial gain is so important to you, and it should be, how much more important should the spiritual work be to you that will bring eternal gain? There's not even a comparison when you look at those two together. I would say a spiritual work should be of a high importance. They should be very, very important to us. But some other Christians say they just fall into the other trap of Satan, thinking that the spiritual life will just happen automatically. I just come to Christ, I accept Christ, and everything will just happen automatically. But that is a complete lie. Habits are developed by being disciplined, isn't it? You don't develop a habit just saying, okay, I've done it once and it will happen. Habits are developed by being disciplined. Being disciplined involves constant training. It involves habitual repetition of things. And how do we expect our spiritual habits to just come automatically to us? They will not happen automatically. I read this illustration about a man that walked to a vending machine and he put in a coin, pressed the button labeled coffee, double cream, and sugar. Three buttons. The nozzles went into action, sending coffee, cream, and sugar, but the problem was that no cup appeared. So the machine did its thing because it's automated. It does it automatically. After the proper amounts had gone down the drain, the machine turned off. Then the man looked at it and said, wow, this is amazing. This is real automation, he says. This thing even drinks it for you. You know, I believe this is just how some people want their faith. They want to make a deposit, put in some money, and let the rest be taken care of automatically. But there is no such thing as automated prayers, automated devotion worship, or church attendance, or serving, etc., etc. The religion of Jesus Christ is a personal discipline. It's not automatic that comes to you. It does not just happen. I'm sorry to disappoint you this morning if you thought it will just happen. You have to make it a habit and repeat and work with this. So looking at the life of Jesus, I want today to go to the life of Jesus and to see some of the habits that he had and to see how we can learn from him and acquire those good habits. I'll give you today not seven like those books give you, but I'll give you four different habits that Jesus had in his life that made his faith grow and how we can have those habits to become effective followers of Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, a very famous verse in the Bible, and most of you will know this verse, but if you don't, please open with me. And it says there, but Jesus himself would often slip away to where? Some say wilderness, some say solitary places. To do what?
Pray.
To pray. Very simple verse. Luke 5, verse 16. One of the habits of Jesus was to slip away for some time alone with his Father. So if we want to be effective Christians, we must acquire the same habit. We have to have a habitual prayer life. Amen?
Amen.
It must become a habit. The wilderness here refers to a desolate or lonely places. As I said, some translations say solitary places. Wherever Jesus found himself in the course of ministry, he also made it a habit to just seek essential time in a lone zone where he spent time with his Father. Do you feel like you need that time sometimes? When you want to be alone and just pray and spend this intimate time with your Heavenly Father, many Christians miss the importance of Jesus' solitude and prayer in the Bible. Every follower of Jesus needs to learn from his example to intimacy with God. Continually, Jesus withdrew from people, from daily life activities, and the demands of his ministry to be alone with his Father and pray. You know, the priority of Jesus' time alone in prayer is very important to the Gospels. You can find it everywhere in the Gospels. It's repeated many, many times. This is how he began his ministry, didn't he? He went for 40 days in the desert to be alone with his Father and spend time with his Father. It's how he dealt with troubling emotions like grief. It's how he dealt with the constant demands of his ministry. This is how he prepared for important ministry events, and this is how he prepared for his death and on the cross. Wasn't he alone in Gethsemane before he died praying? He felt the need to be in prayer, and this became a habit. So how much more today for us should this become a habit? Amen? If you want to be an effective Christian, learn from the example of Jesus. You must make prayer a habit. Your prayer life must be a habit. Let's move to the second habit that we find about Jesus: habitual study of God's Word. Now, you can look everywhere in the Gospels, and you'll not find a verse that says that Jesus habitually studied the Scriptures. I've tried to find it, and it's not there. It says that he went to pray every time, but it doesn't say that he studied the Scriptures. But I looked at some verses that will give us a hint into that, and one of the verses is found in John chapter 7, verse 15. John chapter 7, verse 15. And there it says this: and the Jews did what? They marveled, saying, how does this man, talking about Jesus, how does this man know letters, having never what? Studied. In the midst of this, the annual Feast of the Tabernacle, if you follow in John chapter 7, John tells us in verse 14 that Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. His unique teachings caused the Jewish scholars to marvel. These were the rabbis, the Pharisees. And they were marveled at Jesus' teaching. The Jews were asking how this uneducated man, they knew he was just the son of the carpenter, the one that never studied, never been taught by the scribes, by the rabbis, by the Pharisees, how could have he acquired such a remarkable understanding of the Holy Scriptures? He had never had formal training in the Scriptures, yet when he taught, Matthew 7:29 tells us that Jesus taught them as one having what? Authority. Now, Jesus' answer to their question in verse 16 was amazing. And if you look in John chapter 7, verse 16, it says there, my doctrine or my teaching is not mine, but whose? His that sent me. Now, Jesus' knowledge of the Old Testament Scriptures was acquired in the same way that we acquire our knowledge, by studying the Scriptures. In Luke 2:52, It says that Jesus, when he was a young person, a boy, increased in what? In wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He did it the same way as we do today, by diligent study of the scriptures. Now, I looked at the quotes of Ellen White, and I found this one amazing quote in a book, Evangelism, page 185. This is what she says. In childhood, youth, and manhood, Jesus studied the scriptures. As a little child, he was daily at his mother's knee, taught from the scrolls of the prophets. In his youth, the early morning and the evening twilight often found him alone on the mountainside or among the trees of the forest, spending a quiet hour in prayer and the study of God's word. During his ministry, his intimate acquaintance with the scriptures testifies to his diligence in their study. So did Jesus study the scriptures? Did he really need to? Well, if he was divine God, he could have said, hey, I know all of this stuff already. But he diligently studied. Since he was a young child, he was studying the scriptures. So do you think that this is a good habit to acquire? This is a great habit to learn from Jesus if we want to be effective Christians. Two more habits. The habit of giving. I call it habitual giving. Once again, there is no specific verse in the Bible that tells us that giving was a habit for Christ, but what we have in the Gospels is many, many statements where we have Jesus giving us certain things. And here are some examples. I want you to go with me to Mark 10, verse 45. We'll go through some verses quickly, but if you can follow with me, it would be great. Mark 10, verse 45. Mark 10 and verse 45. Jesus says here a very, very powerful statement. For even the Son of Man did not come to what? To be served, but to serve, and to do what? To give his life a ransom for many. In the first part of this verse, you see, Jesus says that he came to serve others. In other words, he came to give of himself in helping others. When you serve someone else, you give of yourself. This is what God did when he sent his Son to come and die for us. In John 3:16 says, and God the Father gave his only Son to come here. So giving, when you give it of yourself. You serve someone, you help someone else. Then Jesus on the cross performed the ultimate act of service by giving his own life for us. Amen? This is the ultimate act of service. In Matthew 11:28, if you go there, but most of you know this verse, Jesus says the following, that he wants to give us what? His rest. Come to me and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. In John 14:27, Jesus says that he gives us his peace. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus says that he came to give us a more abundant what? Life. And then in verse 28 of the same chapter, Jesus says that he came to give us eternal life. Do you see how many things Christ is giving us? I do believe that that probably became a habit for him. The giving, the habitual giving. Seeing how often the gospel mentions examples where Jesus gives us something, one cannot but conclude that giving was a habit for Jesus Christ. And he showed us a great example of habitual giving. The question is, what are you willing to give? Are you willing to give anything to Christ or to others? Are we willing to give habitually of our time, our treasures, and our talents to God? Some of us make giving an event that happens once in a while. What I'm saying by this, I come to church, I give. It's an isolated event. I set time aside once a month that I go help at Mustard Seed. I give of my time. We make it isolated events. Now, don't get me wrong. While these isolated acts of giving are very, very good and very useful. Giving must become more than just that. It must become a spiritual habit for us. Unfortunately, many Christians really struggle with making giving a habit in their lives. Unless giving becomes a habit, we will be struggling with the act of giving. So it must become a habit. Let's look at the last one. Luke 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. The last habit we can learn from Jesus to be effective followers of Christ. So he came to Nazareth, says the scripture, where he had been brought up. And as his what? Custom was, or his habit, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Habitual attendance of church on Sabbath. And here I can spend 2 months preaching about this, but I have only 5 minutes. The Bible tells us that Jesus had a good habit of going to the synagogue on Sabbath. Was that a good habit? Yes, it was. It was a very good habit. The book of Acts tells us that the disciples developed the same habit. And how did they develop it? By following Jesus all the time to the synagogue on Sabbath. You learn by example. So while they were with Jesus 3.5 years, they learned that good habit. And in book of Acts, it says that they, as their custom was, they went to the synagogue on Sabbath. Habits are learned from example. Now let me address you parents today for 2 minutes. Parents, you know that your kids are learning good and bad habits from you. You do, right? They learn everything from us, good and bad. They observe you and they repeat what you do. That's a scary thought. So the question is, what kind of habits do you pass on to your children in your daily life? One good habit you can teach your children is to come to church on Sabbath. Amen? Amen. But they're not going to come here on their own. Remember, they learn it by observing you, by example. That means that you must make an effort yourselves to come to church, even when it seems that there is no way you can get there on that particular Sabbath. And believe me, I hear it very often. I ask, we've missed you in church. Oh, it's so busy, Pastor. We watch you live. Well, that's good. That is good. There's nothing wrong with that. It is easy to stay home once from church because of different circumstances in life. Then the second time, then the third time. And as we repeat this, it becomes what? A habit. Is that a good habit? Not according to Jesus' life. That is a bad habit. This is exactly what Apostle Paul talks about in Hebrews 10:25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, or it's the habit of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It seems that the Christians in the first century AD had developed the same bad habit as many Christians today, to stay home and not assembling together on the Sabbath. And then Paul is writing to them and says, do not forsake assembling together, as it became a habit for many, many of you. Because why? You can, when you get together, you exhort one another. You uplift one another. And then he finishes a very interesting statement. He says, as what? The more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The second coming of Jesus. Do we believe that Jesus is coming soon? Do we believe that the day is approaching? How much more we should be assembling together now and not forsaking assembling together. Paul warns them not to stay at home and not to forsake assembling together, especially as the day of the Lord approaches. You see, as we believe that Jesus is coming soon, we must remember not to forsake assembling together. The public worship and fellowship is an important ingredient in preparing God's people for Christ's second coming. And you can find it throughout the Bible. It's very, very important. Did Jesus have a good habit? Yes, he did. We must learn from Jesus. We must acquire that habit. And we must practice that good habit of Jesus to be in church on the Sabbath. In conclusion, in 1978, Michael H. Hart published a book called The 100, a ranking of the most influential persons in history. Have you heard about this book? He ranked all the most influential persons in history. Now, Jesus made the list, but where a lot of Christians, readers, they were really upset with Hart, it caused a big commotion in the Christian world, Jesus was ranked number 3 behind Muhammad and Sir Isaac Newton. And Jesus was number 3. Now, when this commotion came and a lot of Christians were saying, what's going on? Jesus should be number 1, most influential person. Hart acknowledged that Jesus' teachings were surely among the most remarkable and original ethical ideas ever presented. But he continued, and listen to this. If they were widely followed, the teachings, I would have no hesitation in placing Jesus first in this book. In Hart's opinion, Jesus' influence on the world has been considerably diminished by those who claim to follow him but do not abide by his teachings. And this is us. This is us. He said, I would never have a problem putting him number 1 if his followers would really be true followers. The Bible encourages us to be imitators of Christ. Many times Paul says, be imitators of Christ, be imitators of God. In other words, we need to acquire Christ's habits. Jesus was in a habit of praying all the time. Jesus was in the habit of studying the scriptures. He also practiced the habit of giving and going to synagogue every Sabbath. So if we want to be highly effective followers of Jesus Christ, we must develop and practice these habits as well. May God bless you. Amen.